How many appreciate the Word of God? Amen. We missed last week. We were with our new little granddaughter. Carla's there till tonight. But little Carmen Page, oh, I didn't even have that on, but go ahead. Just leave it up there if you'd like. That's nice of you. But little Carmen Page came in the world a week ago Wednesday. We got to have a week of vacation there in Oklahoma. Never thought I'd vacation in Oklahoma. How many know what I'm talking about? But it was one of the best vacations I've ever had in my life because of little Carmen Page. But she is doing great, and Michaela, our daughter, as well. But Carla's kind of given the rookie daughter, showing her the ropes. And how many ladies know that's really, really important to a new mom? So, but Carla will be home tonight. Have you ever been reading your Bible when you came across a verse of Scripture and you were like, I know that verse. I've heard that verse so many times, and I didn't know that's where it is. You ever been there before? Any of you? Let me see your hand if you've ever done that. When we came to this passage, although I somewhat knew where we're going to be there in just a moment, but that verse jumped out at me, and to make the association with the character in Scripture, I did not have it in my mind, and we will get there a little bit later. But if you remember, weeks ago, we were tracking along in our reading of 2015 and 2015, and we were looking at the life of the first king of the northern kingdom of Israel, and that would be King Jeroboam. We spent the entire morning looking at the legacy that Jeroboam left, because it was a miserable legacy. And if you remember, King David had the zenith of Israel's history as a king and in their worship and in their spiritual life. And then Solomon came along, and Solomon held it to a degree, and yet kind of it waned a bit, and then he went a little bit crazy in his life. And then we move further to his son Rehoboam, and then we come to the story that we're going to pick up today. But Jeroboam was in the northern kingdom. To the southern kingdom were those kings then of David's lineage that continued on. But Jeroboam had that incredible offer by God. I mean, God laid out for Jeroboam what was an amazing gift, and Jeroboam completely blew it. And so as we come to our reading this past week, now we're focused more on the kings to the south, the kings of what is known as Judah and the tribes of Judah and Benjamin. And we come to Abijah, who is the son of Rehoboam, and so he would be the grandson then of Solomon, or the great-grandson of David, so the fourth king in the lineage of David. And Abijah was a good king. Abijah in chapter 13 here won a great victory over Israel, because the northern southern kingdoms began to battle one another, and the victory is won, and God gives the victory to Judah, to the south, and in that battle, King Jeroboam dies. And God had said to Jeroboam that his lineage would stop right there, even though his spiritual lineage, in essence, continued on in Israel to the sad events that followed his reign. Yet his family lineage, his earthly lineage, was cut off in this battle. And there's a word that's used in this story that I want you to note. If you have your Bibles, look at verse 18 or look to the screen this morning. But 2 Chronicles 13, 18 it says, thus the men of Israel were subdued at that time. So the northern kingdom, Israel, were subdued. And the men of Judah, southern kingdom, prevailed because they relied on the Lord, the God of their fathers. Say that phrase with me. Because they relied on the Lord. Say it again. Because they relied on the Lord. There's a phrase there used five times, or a word, as we'll see in the story. Well, Abijah's son, Asa, succeeds him and is another good king in Judah. So he is the fifth in the lineage of David, and it is his life and his story that I want us to focus on primarily this morning. Asa's reign was one marked with peace and prosperity for the majority of it. The first 10 years, there were no wars, which was really pretty phenomenal in that day. And then a vast army, the Bible says a million strong, came, primarily with Ethiopia and a few other allies, came and attacked the southern kingdom. And Asa cried out to the Lord. If you want to look in the next chapter, chapter 14, verse 11. And we'll find this word again, by the way. And Asa cried to the Lord his God, O Lord, there is none like you to help between the mighty and the weak. Help us, O Lord our God, for we rely on you. And in your name we have come against this multitude. O Lord, you are our God. Let not man prevail against you. And so the Lord defeated the Ethiopians before Asa and before Judah, and the Ethiopians fled. Here's the same Hebrew word here, for we rely on you. It means to depend on or rely upon, to put your trust with confidence in someone. And then God speaks to Asa. And it's something that I referenced in the service a couple weeks ago. And as we read it, I want you to think beyond just the context of Asa. But really, if you've been reading with us, you could really go back and set it in the whole context of everything that you've read all the way from Genesis to this point in Scripture. As a matter of fact, you could take this and you can apply it from Genesis all the way to Revelation. We see this principle time and time again. I referenced it from the book of James in the New Testament a few weeks ago. But look at chapter 15, verse number 1. After this great victory, the Spirit of God came upon a man named Azariah, the son of Obed, and he went out to meet Asa, and he said to him, "Hear me, Asa, and all Judah and Benjamin, the tribes of the south. The Lord is with you while you are with him. If you seek him, he will be found by you. But if you forsake him, he will forsake you." If you want to catch an encapsulation of the entirety of the Word of God as God struggles with Israel, as God struggles many times with the early church, as God many times struggles with your heart and my heart many times, you're reading it right here. It reflects the heart of God. God is constantly inviting us into relationship with Him. He's constantly inviting us that if we will just follow Him, that He will be with us. And that little word "if" is found over and over again in Scripture, that God gives us the invitation to be His children, to follow Him in relationship with Him, and to follow His commandments, and to live our lives His way. And if we do, He will be there for us. Conversely, time and time again we read, He will as well step back. He will leave us to our own devices. He will leave us to our own ways. If we choose to go our own way, that God many times will say, "Okay, then I'll allow you to be to yourself." The Lord is with you while you are with Him. If you seek Him, you will be found by Him. But if you forsake Him, He will forsake you. So what did Asa do? Well, Asa did what was right in the eyes of the Lord. He was a good king. And we're grateful because so many of the kings, both of Israel and Judah, were not good kings. None, of course, were perfect. David even wasn't perfect. Yet David becomes that standard by which it seems like all the kings are measured by. Equally so, as Jeroboam is that king in a negative way that all the kings seem to be measured according to, as we looked at a few weeks ago. But Asa was faithful, and he responds to this message from this prophet. And his response, the Bible says, as soon as he heard the words of the prophet, he called all of Israel together, all the men of Israel, and even many from Israel that had come down, rather Judah, but many from the northern kingdom Israel that had come down because of the evil and the wickedness there. He calls all of them together, and he leads them in an oath that they are going to serve the Lord their God. And this is the way the writer then summarizes Asa's life and his reign. The heart of Asa was wholly true all of his days. And there was no more war until the 36th year of Asa's reign. So he had one war in his 10th year, and then 25 more years of peace. And then we come to the 36th year, chapter 16, if you want to move a little bit further. Now another attack comes from the north. It's Israel this time coming to attack Judah again. But Asa does the strangest of things. And it's not strange in the thought of human ingenuity and the way that we might think, but it's strange in the sense of how Asa had lived his life seemingly up to this point, but yet 25 years have now passed, and Asa immediately, the Bible says, turns to the king of Syria. Rather than turning to God, he turns to the king of Syria for help, and the king says, "Yes, I will help you," and they broker a treaty, and they win the victory over the northern kingdom of Israel. And we pick it up in verse 7, if you will, chapter 16 now, verse 7, our primary text today. And at that time, Hanani, the seer, another prophet, came to Asa, king of Judah, and he said to him, "Because you," here's that word again, fourth time it's been used, same Hebrew word, "because you relied on the king of Syria and did not rely on the Lord your God, the army of the king of Syria has escaped you. Were not the Ethiopians and the Libyans a huge army with very many chariots and horsemen?" See, God is taking him back now 25 years. And he is saying, wasn't that a great army that day? Yet because you relied on the Lord, he gave them into your hand. Same Hebrew word, rely, to trust, put your confidence in. And here comes that classic verse, verse 9. Many of you know it well now. For, Hananiah speaking, for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the earth to give strong support to those whose heart is blameless toward him. You have done foolishly in this, for from now on you will have wars. Then Asa was angry with the seer, and he put him in the stocks in prison, for he was in a rage with him because of this, and Asa inflicted cruelties upon some of the people at the same time. Now, what a strange turn of events. And what did all of this hinge on? It keeps hinging upon Asa's reliance upon God. 10 years of peace. The Ethiopians then attack, and Asa turns to God and says, Lord, we rely upon you. We need you. And God gives him a great victory. And then he says, you'll have peace now in your reign. And 25 years pass. Now the northern kingdom, Israel, is riled to come down and to attack Judah. And as they did in the days of his father, they do it again. But this time, what does he do? Instead of turning to the Lord, he turns to the king of Syria. And it works. Their treaty works. They win the battle over Israel. The north is defeated, but God isn't pleased, and he sends the old prophet with a word for Asa, and he tells him, because you didn't rely upon me, from now on you will face wars. Now again, what did God tell him after that first victory 25 years earlier? He said, Asa, listen to me. Listen to me. The Lord is with you while you are with him. And if you will seek him, he will be found by you. But if you forsake him, he will forsake you. That's the heart of God. Just follow me, Asa. Walk with me, Asa. Let me be your source. And here it is, that wonderful verse, verse 9. For the eyes of the Lord are running to and fro throughout the earth to give strong support to those whose heart is blameless toward him. The Hebrew word there, blameless, means to be fully committed to. Whole, it has to do with. Constituting the full quality or extent of something. To be complete. Other translations, that he strengthened those whose hearts are fully committed to him. Whose hearts are loyal to him. Message Bible, totally committed. King James, whose hearts are perfect toward him. That whole, complete trust in God. This is what God is constantly surveying the earth for. Picture that this morning. The eyes of the Lord, the prophet says, are constantly running to and fro throughout the whole earth, seeking to strengthen those whose hearts are completely, fully trusting him, relying upon him, looking to him. This is the message of judgment the word of the prophet is for Asa. So what does it speak to us today? Well, three things I want you to note in your outline this morning. First of all, that God is looking for our full trust out of relationship with him. It's out of relationship. You say, well, why does God always want me to rely on him for everything? I'm kind of an independent self-type person, and self-reliance is very important to me. God wants you to depend upon him, first of all, out of relationship with him. He loves you, and he wants you to love him. It's a relationship. We can go to so many moments in Scripture. Just think of Abraham. Genesis chapter 12, it kind of begins the whole ball rolling, doesn't it? God picks this one man out of all the men of the earth, and he says to him, Abraham, I want you to leave your people, your kindred, your country. I want you to go to a land that I'm going to show you. And then he goes into it. And notice how many times here God uses his own personal pronoun. And I will make you into a great nation. And I will bless you. And you will be a great nation. And you'll be a blessing. And I will bless those who curse you. And I will curse those who curse you. I. God is saying, I want to have a relationship with you, Abraham. And if you'll just follow me, I will bless you. And what does Abraham later become known as? A friend of God. Relationship. And the story is one of walking with God, trusting God. Abraham through the good times and difficult times. But it continues on to Isaac and then to Jacob and then to Moses and then to all of Israel. God wanting relationship with his people. But through Moses, God talked relationship, gave him a covenant with Israel, gave them the laws to which they would be a unique people, the promises, incredible acts of kindness, all of the miracles, unmerited favor. God wanted relationship. I will be your God, and you will be a people carved out of all the nations of the earth. It was relationship, relationship, relationship. But God wanted them to always trust him. And think about it today. What is a relationship without trust? Can there even be a relationship without trust? Whether it be a handshake in a business deal or a contract that we sign in good faith. Certainly that moment that we stand before a pastor and we say, I do, and we say, I promise to take you for better, for worse, for richer, for poor, in sickness and in health, it's trust. And if trust is ever violated, that is what always then creates the issues in a relationship. True of any human relationship, but also it's true of God. God wants out of our relationship with Him a mutual trust. Think about it. That's what God's always been after. We trust that Jesus went to the cross today, paid the price for our sins. We trust completely in the finished work of Christ. What we just celebrated together with the cup and the bread is that we fully rely upon Jesus. It's not a matter of what we do, but it's everything that He did. As many people often say, well, a relationship's 50-50. A marriage is 50-50. Not really. A good marriage is 100-100. How many know what I'm talking about? That's what makes a good marriage. That you both are giving everything you have to that marriage. But as we come to God, it's not a 50-50 with God either. It is 100% what God does on our behalf. It's what Jesus did for us. And God showed His love. We sang about it in our worship this morning, that God loved us so much that even in our sin, yes, even then, He shed His blood for me. It's 100% God gave all that He could give so that you could have relationship with Him. You say, well, where do I fit then in that? You know what He wants back from you? He wants 100% from you. He wants your heart. He wants your life. He wants your soul. He wants your mind. He wants everything about you. He wants us. And He's worthy of us, isn't He? He came 100% and He wants your 100%. But in this, as you look at not just salvation, it extends to everything then there. Everything in your life, every situation, every experience, every trial, every test, every moment that's mountaintop, every valley that you go through. You know what? Out of relationship with Him, God is saying, I want you to trust me. I want you to trust me. I will be there for you. Tell me today, what is God asking you to fully rely upon Him for today? Some of our problem is we get all of our ducks in a row that it's almost as if we don't even need God anymore. We just look forward to heaven and we look forward to that day. And until then, we really have everything in place that we live a nice little American life, right? And yet we run into our bumps and our issues and our struggles and our trials, absolutely. But God wants us to rely upon Him. Why? Because of relationship. Relationship. Second thing we note from the story is that God is looking for our full trust, not only out of relationship, but through life's trials. And this is where Asa blew it. It's what he did so well with the Ethiopians in the first battle, but what he failed at so poorly with the Israelites from the north in the second battle. But see, God always tests our hearts along the way. He calls Abraham, He blesses Abraham, He even gives Abraham a son after 25 years of Abraham waiting for that son. And then what does God do? I want you to take that son, take a three-day journey to Mount Moriah, and I want you to sacrifice him on top of that mountain. And it says, He tested Abraham, Genesis 22. God told Moses, lead the Israelites into what I will call Passover. And you can imagine that first night, something completely new to them, but they are to take the blood of the lamb and they're to apply it over the doorposts of their homes and they're to eat that supper together. It was a brand new instituting of something that was to last forever as Israelites, as God's chosen people. And so it took faith and obedience for Abraham. It took faith and obedience for the Israelites that first night. Joshua led them to the very brink of the Jordan River. And what did they do? But they had to step their feet into that Jordan River. And faith again, it was faith and obedience that God was testing them to prove their reliance upon Him. So here's Asa, and he has had such peace in his reign. And he was faithful to God, and God was faithful to him. And the first battle comes 10 years into his reign, and God gives him a great victory, and God promises more peace. So then all those years pass, and here comes another attack. And what does Asa do? But you realize God was testing his heart. God will test our hearts. It was one of the most fundamental ways that he tests us is to allow the enemy to come in, allow testings to come, trials to come our way. What do testing and trials do to us? They either draw us closer to God or we allow them to drive us away from God. How many people I've talked to in my life that have said to me, Jeff, I don't know what I would do without the Lord. How many people have said to me, I don't know how people make it without the Lord. I don't know how many people have said to me, if I didn't have the Lord in my life right now, of all times, so that test, that trial has driven them closer to Him, and so they've gone running to Him. And how many people have I heard in my life that said, oh, but one day in my life, this happened or that happened. Someone died. Someone I prayed for. Situation didn't work out the way I wanted it to, and so now they've gone their own way and they turned away. Away from God. That's what testing and trials do. God wants us to rely upon Him no matter what our circumstances are. No matter what the report of the doctors comes to you, God wants you to rely upon Him. No matter how smooth things are going along in your marriage or in your home life or in other relationships and friendships or if there's a huge bump in the road, God wants you to rely upon Him. No matter if you're cruising along and everything is well financially and your job is going just perfectly and then suddenly everything, the wheels come off, either end of it, God wants you to keep relying upon Him. In all of this, He wants you to rely upon Him, so much so that His eyes are constantly roaming throughout the earth to seek those whose hearts are fully committed to Him that He might strengthen them. Sounds pretty good, doesn't it? How many think God has enough strength to carry you through whatever test or trial you have in life? Of course He does. And of course the king of Syria could help, and he did. But God didn't want Asa to turn to man. God wanted Asa to turn to Him. And I have a feeling, as we'll see in a moment, I have a feeling that God was looking down and He saw something in Asa that over those 25 years had developed and it didn't look good. And so God allowed that test, and so He just took His hand back a little bit and allowed the northern king and the kingdom of Israel to come in and bring an attack upon. And sure enough, Asa, rather than looking to God to strongly support him, he looked to man. So what have we seen God do? Time and time again for Israel, God always provided the strength that Israel needed. God never failed them when they turned to Him. Think of the first battle. Moses, lift up those arms, right? And Aaron and Hur are there, and he has a staff of God in his hands. And the moment that he grow tired and weary, then they begin to lose the battle. But as long as he held up his hands, what a picture. You say, it's silly. Why does God play these games? You know what? God was already illustrating for Israel that you're going to rely upon me. So keep your hands extended toward me. You will keep praising me. You will keep worshiping me. You will keep that staff in your hand because that is what's going to bring the victory. It will be my touch upon your life, Moses. So Aaron and Hur, they're holding up his arms. Why? And they win that first battle. What did God say to them 40 years later? Even through all their wandering, through all their disobedience, through everything, God still said, I provided for you. I put sandals on your feet. I gave you manna every morning. I brought water for more times from a rock for you. I took care of you. I provided for you. All of these things, if you would just rely upon me. And again, we can be so hard, can't we, sometimes upon those Israelites? And we can say, well, they were just so carnal. We can be the same way. God wants us to constantly rely upon Him for everything in our lives, day by day, like manna new every morning. So as we read on further, what did Asa do? Well, the story wasn't over. Because the third lesson we learned quickly, God's looking for our full trust to the very end, to the very end. The writer of 2 Chronicles kind of got ahead of himself back in chapter 15. He says, the heart of Asa was wholly true all his days. I think he should have held his pen in check just for a moment and really taken another look at Asa's life. Remember that prophet that comes and gives him the rebuke? And he gets angry. And he throws the prophet in prison. And it says he began to inflict cruelties upon some of the people. Sounds like a temper tantrum, doesn't it? It's like Asa's heart. What's happened? Think of it. All Asa had to do, even in that moment, is say, God, I was wrong. I shouldn't have turned to the king of Syria. I should have kept my eyes on you. All Asa had to do is repent of his sin. All that he had to do was check his heart, but he didn't do that. And instead, a few verses later, it says that Asa died. And he died having a horrible disease that he suffered with for several years. And listen to what the scripture says. Even in his disease, he did not seek the Lord, but sought the help of the physicians. Nothing wrong with doctors. That's not the point. But the point, the writer even says, yet even in his disease, he did not seek the Lord. Even as he grew sick, he did not seek the Lord. Even when the battles began to come more in his life, he did not seek the Lord. And he died in his disease. He died in that sickness. Friends, God wants us to rely upon him because of relationship through the trials of our life, but also to the very, very end. And this becomes the theme. This is why I so believe in you consistently reading through the Word of God. Because you see patterns. Like I saw that word rely 5 times as it was springing off the page and realizing that's at the heart of the story of Asa. That's at the heart of the story because his father relied upon the Lord. First time we see that word, and then we begin to see it 4 more times through his life. When he did rely upon the Lord, when he did not rely upon the Lord. We see these patterns. And if you're reading along, you in just a few days are going to read the following. Look to the screen, if you will. This is later in chapter 26. It says, and Uzziah, the king, did what was right in the eyes of the Lord according to that his father Amaziah had done. He set himself to seek God, and as long as he sought the Lord, God made him prosper. Now, why is this so poignant? It's because this young man, he was 16 years of age when he took the king of Judah. He's in that lineage of David. He's a good king. He started out so right, but then here's how the story ends 10 verses later. But when Uzziah was strong, he grew proud to his destruction, for he was unfaithful to the Lord his God. And again, Uzziah, much like Asa, his life and his reign ends tragically. See, as I close today, time and time again, hear me. With the kings of Israel, with the people of Israel, God is looking for them to fully trust in him. And not only to do it early in life, but to do it as well when things go well, when there's peace and prosperity, but even when there's an attack, or even as we look in King Uzziah's his situation, is to continue all the way through his life. But when he grew strong, he then began to become unfaithful to the Lord. When he grew strong, he obviously becomes self-reliant, and he fell away from the Lord as God, and he began to disobey the Lord as God. It is a pattern that we see throughout the Word of God. So as we close this morning, what is the tell-proof sign of relying upon God? It's always the heart. It's always our obeying God, his commandments. How do we know? It's through his word. And so it's us following his word. How do we know obedience? See, God would keep saying, if you will serve me, then I will bless you. If you just follow me, I'll protect you. If you fully rely upon me, and the same is through why? Because his eyes are constantly roaming throughout the earth, seeking those whose hearts are fully committed to him in relationship through all the trials of life, but to the very end, to the very end. And so I'd ask you this morning, what are you right now, what are you facing today that you need help with? Whatever it may be, it could be a financial thing, could be a physical thing, whatever it might be. And I'd ask you that in follow-up, who are you relying on? Who are you turning to in your life? As God's eyes are roaming throughout the earth right now, they're constantly roaming to and fro to strengthen those hearts that are fully committed to him. I'd ask you this morning, when his eyes land on your heart, what does he see? Does he see a heart that's 100% for him the way his heart is towards you? Or does he see a heart that's fragmented and broken and pulling away from him, self-reliant? Are you fully trusting God today? Really, it's in the tests and the trials that we see the litmus test more than anything else. That litmus test of our hearts and where we're at with him is when we go through the really, really dark times. And oh, I encourage you today, and I hope you'll encourage me, that as we go through the difficult, the trials, the testings, we'll realize those are the moments above all to put our faith fully in trusting him today. Fully trusting him. So whatever you may be going through today, are you relying upon God? If things are really cheery and rosy and everything's going your way, are you relying upon God and giving him the glory and the credit for everything in your life? Because that's what he wants. And his eyes are roaming. And I knew today they'd be roaming through this sanctuary, looking at all of our hearts. Why? Because he wants to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to him. And we always need his strength. Would you bow your heads with me, close your eyes this morning? As we come to the close of this early service today, our time is always rather short, but I just want to ask you to take your heart today. It was mentioned in a song that we sang earlier, and again, I say that we bring our hearts to Him and say, search me, O God. Search me, O God, right now. If I could ask you, what are you relying upon this morning? Is there anything in your heart that you feel checked on right now and you realize, I am not relying upon the Lord the way I should? Why don't you right now come? Unlike Asa, why don't you return your heart to the Lord this morning? Say, God, I am going to fully, fully rely upon you. Put my trust in you. There's a simple little song, so simple, the church used to sing. He's all I need. He's all I need. Jesus is all I need. He's all I need. He's all I need. Jesus is all I need. And you know, that's the truth. He's all that you need this morning, to rely upon Him. Put your confidence, your trust in Him. Is there anyone here this morning, you say, Jeff, honestly, I have been really following my own way, my own path, really relying upon myself more than God. And this morning's message, I feel God pulling me, or even laying down the mark to say, you make a decision today. If you're going to follow me, if you're not going to. And you say today, I want to choose to follow Him. I want to rely upon God. My heart has drifted, and I need to return to Him. If that's you this morning, would you just put up your hand right now? Let me just see it quickly. Anyone, you put up your hand. Hold it just long enough that I can see. Is there anyone? You see, I just realized I need to keep relying upon Him. Maybe you used to, but again, to the very end, you've just kind of begun to pull back. Is there anyone today, you put up that hand? Anyone, quickly, put that hand up. Anyone, you feel God just drawing you now, speaking to your heart. Anyone, this early service? I'm here today to say I want to trust Him all the way, fully, to the very end. Let me see your hand this morning. And I pray that's 100% of us then. Amen. Why? Out of relationships, through the trials, and to the very end. Let's stand together. Would you sing that with Pastor Tom as he leads us now?
He's all.
Let's sing it together. He is.
He's all.
How simple a truth. Sing it one more time. Sing it, you're all I need, in worship. You're all. Closing this morning, if you would bow your heads with me, we're going to make application of these 3 points in our closing prayer. And would you just pray this with me today? Lord, we give our hearts to you and we follow you and we determine in our hearts, God, we want to rely upon you. So, Lord, first of all, thank you for relationship. Thank you for being my God. Just tell them that this morning. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for 100% you coming my way. Lord, I return to you everything I am. I want to fully trust you. So out of relationship, God, I leave these doors hand in hand with you, heart and heart with you, God, mind and mind with you, Lord. May you have 100% of me as I walk out of these doors, out of relationship with you. And Lord, through trials, whether right now you're going through a trial or whether you're as smooth as can be, but you're going to face something in the future, right now, you just say, Lord, thank you that through the trials of my life, I'm going to rely upon you. I'm going to trust you, Lord, because you're faithful and you've proven faithful.
So Lord, through the trials, I'm going to rely upon you. I'm going to rely upon you. But then let's make that commitment now. Everyone here, Central Assembly, first service today, on this last Sunday of July, would you in your heart say, Lord, I'm going to rely on you to the very end. Make me faithful, Lord. Let me not be like Asa. Let me not be like Uzziah. Let me not be like Israel. Let me not be like those that fall away. But Lord, I want to fully rely upon you all the way to the very end. All the way to the very end. And as Romans 15, 13 says, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. And everyone said, amen.